Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
All right, we got Kings basketball returning to the Golden 1 Center tomorrow night. The Sacramento Kings take on the Toronto Raptors. Our first chance to see this version of the Sacramento Kings in action. Our first chance to see the Doug Christie-led version of the Sacramento Kings in action. And speaking of Doug, we'll check in with our man James Hamm, and here is Doug Christie after practice today.
I've seen all Bobby's moves. Cut it out.
You ever get in on these off
tips? I'm sure somebody's gonna talk me into it for sure. No doubt. Yeah.
Keon still has nothing to film. You know that, right?
Okay, Keon can think whatever Keon wants. I tell him he would have a hard time catching the ball on me. And he tells me, "Coach, shut up, you're crazy." But he's one of my favorites. So.
Did you used to have shooting competitions with Peja and Bobby and those guys?
Oh, absolutely. One-on-one, me and Bobby mostly. That was the they don't do that a lot today. Sometimes we get into one-on-one, but it's even more asking. That was probably the biggest thing, is he helped me learn how to guard smaller players, and I helped him how to learn how to work off of bigger players. So iron sharpens iron. We were good for each other in that way.
Coach, is this a perfect example of basketball being fun?
Oh, absolutely. It's supposed to be fun, man. You know, Bobby, now if he wins, holy snaps. I don't even know what to say. We ain't going to be able to. We couldn't shut him up anyway. Now it'll be, he going to have something over all of his head. That wouldn't be a good look.
Yesterday's practice, you felt like the energy wasn't there. Do you feel like it picked up again today?
Oh, yeah. They were spectacular today. Like, they were locked in, which is, like, listen, I don't know too many teams that come back after an off day and have a great practice. I don't care where you're at. It's just, it's the nature. It's the energy. It's, the mind is someplace else. And then you lock in towards the end. And they did that for us yesterday. Towards the end of the practice, 82-2 is hard. They knocked it out. They shot their free throws. They knocked them down. So there were points in the practice when I went back and looked at that were actually really good. I have to find something to talk about, though, because I will say we're asking them to pick up. We're asking them to be physical. We're asking them to be handsy. Now, we do need tape against somebody else, and tomorrow may go good. It may not go good, but whatever happens, we'll have tape on it, and we'll adjust. And these guys are competitors. That's the one thing. The competition level in this gym has been really high.
I'm going to hit pause right there for a couple of different reasons. We'll get back to Doug Christie in just a second. One, he mentioned Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis is going to be at the Roseville Galleria for the Kings tip-off event on October 19th. That's Sunday, October 19th from 2 to 4. I'm actually hosting that event with Katie. Found this out just a couple of days ago. So it's your chance to come out and meet Keon Ellis.
That's Keon, coming up. Shout out Keon.
That's coming up on the 19th at the Roseville Galleria. Two, it was very obvious from the very beginning of that clip. This was a much better practice than yesterday. Mm. Doug's tone of voice was different. It sounds like this is where the questions are about to transition. It sounded like Doug was genuinely excited about the opportunity for them to play another team tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I mean they're ready to go when it comes to something like that. Like, they, from the sounds of how training camp has been going and the way that they've been getting at it, yeah, I'm tired of beating up on the same guys or seeing the same guys, or I want to test what we've been working on against somebody who doesn't know what we're going to do or doesn't know what the plays are, or if that's something that would even matter to somebody they're going up against, because they got their own game plan and strategy that they're trying to do. So just trying to see it, trying to compete against different people. I think they're ready for that. I think Doug is ready for that. And like you said, you could hear it in his voice.
Yeah. Let's go back to Doug Christie here after practice today.
You'll play all five of the starters tomorrow?
Yeah, I think everybody's good. We'll see, you know, how many people we play, but that most definitely, that's the plan at least.
Probably limited minutes though, so you can go deep in the rotation.
Damn, Jay, what are you always be trying to ask? Like, man, what do you want me? You want me to just lay it out for you right here? You gotta have something to lead to the mind, man. Come on, bro. We'll see. You know, we do want to get a good sweat in. We there's only four now, so that fast forwards the process a little bit. That kind of answer your question? That helps you? All right.
I imagine as a player, you probably didn't love preseason, but here as a coach, you probably would like back to eight like you used to have. I mean, what's that kind of...
You know, I don't think it's changed. It's not that the players don't like preseason. It's that they're trying to find what they're trying to find, and then we're trying to find what we're trying to find. And normally you want to hit as you're going in, so everything works. It just, you know, the less games, it's a little bit different, so you kind of got to fast forward the process a little bit. Some teams do, some teams don't. For us, we got a lot of questions that we want to answer, so we need to see certain things. We need to play really hard and see how those coverages work. We need to see how they felt picking up 94 feet. Was the second man on the defensive slide, was he in position? You know, I want to see pick and roll defenses. All those different things are questions that you see it in practice, but in practice it's one thing. Even as hard as they're playing, it's always different in the game.
You talked about wrinkles in the offense and moving Domas around a little bit. Like, can you kind of share some insights and break that down for us, what that's looked like in practice so far?
I thought it has been great. I mean, I think Domas, first of all, is just a special talent. So when you put that together, just allowing him to be anywhere on the court. And I think the game dictates sometimes, like, what type of center is he playing? That dictates where he's at. When it comes to splits and stuff like that, you can get to it out of a lot of different things. I like that as something that I did when I played. Now, that doesn't mean anything. It just means as a coach, I like that style of play that is read-based as opposed to running a play. But obviously, we will have sets. We will have plays. But we want to give them the freedom in the first 8 to 10 seconds of the shot clock to just get downhill, play aggressive, play fast, get at the basket, try to break the defense down, and then we have to have organization. Dead balls and different things, that's a whole different game.
Let's stop right there again. We'll hear more from Doug Christie in just a few minutes. Doug talking about in that very, very last answer about the offense and having a kind of free-flowing offense for the first 8 to 10 seconds of the shot clock. I'm sure a lot of that is talking about transition. His hope certainly is talking about transition. He's made that much clear to all of us. But he also talked about, yeah, there's going to be times we're going to have to get the ball out of the basket, but we're going to push the ball up the floor. And he's talked about the segments of a shot clock before. Are you aware of, like, how aware of the shot clock are you, like, outside of the final, like, 5 seconds? They're going to have to develop an internal clock, so to speak, to where they, because he talks about, I'm going to give you 8 to 10 seconds to get down there, free flowing, just run, play. And then if the defense is back, that's where you start to set plays up. That's not, like, that's kind of a normal thing. You do see it in the league a lot, but hear him specifically talk about, no, this is what we're going to attempt to do. And if it's not there for us, we're going to pull back. We're going to go into plays. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's an interesting approach to where you're pointing out, this is how we're going to attack the offensive end, possession after possession.
Right. Yeah, and just getting up and down the floor, make or miss, right? Mm-hmm. And You know, you want to push it up there.
On the you say make or miss on the defensive end.
Yeah. Okay. And you have different sets and different plays that you run that are like quick hitters, right? Like 7 seconds or less, right? And maybe they have that. Maybe it's just something as simple as ball gets inbounds to Schroeder. You push it up the sideline with the pass and see if you can catch them napping or get somebody on your hip if you're Zach LaVine and get all the way to the bucket or something like that. And you push that up there, you see what you got. It's not there. You bring it back out, run that offense. I feel like it's just a mental exercise to get them in the habit of not walking the ball up so much.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the actual time. Maybe there are certain stats and stuff that go to, no, you want to do this in this amount of time or whatever. But to me, that's always something that you just want to always have it in the forefront of your mind to push the ball, not walk it up. Mm-hmm. Whether you're pushing it up with a dribble or you're pushing it up with a pass, we want to put that type of pressure on the defense to let them know we're always in transition mode off top. If we have to pull back and run our offense, cool, that's what we'll do. But when you play the Kings, you know we're always going to be in transition mode. It's a little, to me, I think it's a little bit of a mental exercise that I like. I'm in favor of.
I think it's also, you talk about a mental exercise. That's a great point, because if you're pushing the ball up on a make or miss, you're pushing,
mm-hmm.
right? And it sounds like, you know, Doug is obviously covering all bases in this breakdown, because they're not going to get 100 stops every game,
right?
They're not going to shut their opponent out. On a night-to-night basis. So, you know, we can get into the habit, and it's oftentimes easier, of getting the ball off the rim and pushing. Mm-hmm. It's almost like second nature. Go, 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 go. It might not be so much that way when taking the ball out of the basket, stepping out of bounds, throwing the ball back in. So if you're creating that muscle memory or using that mental exercise that you just spoke of, it's like, yeah, no matter what the situation, we're pushing the ball up the floor.
Yeah. Exactly. I love that aspect. I love that type of aggression on the offensive end. See what you can get early.
And so you have so many capable scorers on the offensive end, too. Give them an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Right? And you got the defense in more times than not. Even on made shots, if you're moving at a certain pace, the defense is still setting up on your way back. Mm-hmm. You talk about statistics, like what the 8 to 10 means, what the increments of the shot clock mean. It probably has more to do with what the defense is doing than what the offense is doing.
Agreed.
It could be something that says, how long does it take a defense to fully get set? It could be 8 to 10 seconds or something, somewhere in that range.
Right.
Here's more from head coach Doug Christie.
Sure has it been since training camp start, you know, leading up, you know, to the game tomorrow. How beneficial has that been to you since you had to come in, you know, in a strained situation?
No.
It's been beneficial. I mean, it's different because there's a lot in that question. You know, there is, you know, summer league. There's a lot that comes in. It's not just from training camp to now. It's been a whole process. So, but it's really been a lot of information. I'm always trying to learn and trying to grow and trying to be better. So, you know, there's something in there too. You know, not everybody is that way. Some people just have it the way they have it and they're cool. I'm always trying to, we got to take into consideration who we have on our team, what type of players we have on our team. That dictates some of that as well. There's a style that we want to play to, but we also have to have the players to play that style. And I gave you the example of Dennis in 94 feet. So now that we got him, okay, we can play that way. There's a lot to it, but yeah, this has been extremely beneficial and a lot of fun.
What's been the most pleasant surprise for you out of this camp?
The competition level. Asking them to do something that they haven't necessarily done at a high level for a long period of time, in my opinion, is hard. That's a difficult thing. And when somebody that's actually done it, I understand what's required out of that. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Commitment from them to try to do that every single day has been highly impressive, and I really appreciate that. I know we're going to get in the game, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but that's another learning step for us. Come back, watch film, look at it. Where are we at in that? And if we need to turn it up more, then we got to turn it up.
Is there a player that stood out that's maybe surprised you on what they can do that you didn't think they could do or didn't know they could do?
I think all of them have been, you know, Dennis's competitiveness and leadership has, you know, jumped off. I think Neek has also demonstrated that he can do a lot of different things on the court. I kind of knew that, but watching him, you know, in summer league is one thing, but against NBA players is something different. You know, Zach's defense and DeMar's defense and commitment to trying to play defense has been impressive. You guys mentioned Domas and moving him around the floor. There's so many. I mean, I can go to Malik and his commitment to the defensive end. Keegan has been a 3-and-D all-around player that I think that I see him ready to take a jump, but we got to wait till the game starts. So, I could go down each one of them because they've all really, really impressed. The rookies who have been back are in incredible shape. Dylan has been great. You can just go on and on. Drew, all of them have something that I might not have known about, but after watching them went, okay.
There's Doug Christie right there, the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. As the Kings get ready to play their first preseason basketball game tomorrow. I think we're the last team to play. There were like 10 games on yesterday. Yeah. Or I don't know if they were all on, but there were 10 games happening yesterday.
Right. You know, I saw a game yesterday that had Victor Oladipo playing, and he was cooking.
That wasn't an NBA game.
Ish. He wasn't on an NBA team.
Yeah.
But they were playing the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
He had like 20 points. Look good. Somebody's like, sign him.
They always talking about signing Victor Oladipo. Man, Victor Oladipo's that one went down. That one just kind of fizzled quick. Oh, injuries and
that quad injury is almost worse. It's maybe the worst leg injury you can get now. I feel like it surpassed the Achilles.
The quad is nasty.
Yeah,
business.
The quad tear or rupture is a career ender. Mm-hmm. It's how we used to look at the Achilles and things. People come back from the Achilles. They may not be the same, but they come back. Mm-hmm. You got the two that I remember off the top of my head, Victor Cruz and Victor Oladipo, who ruptured the quad, and that was it.
Short careers for both of them.
Yeah. That was it, man. So I'm glad to see he's back out there playing. Oh, and he looked good.
I can't imagine how much power you lose, like when your quad tears and you can't work out, you can't do anything at all.
Right.
What at all with your lower body?
Mm. Yeah.
People talk about you lose a little bit of spring when you rupture your Achilles. You lose all bit of leg strength when you tear a quad.
That's where the strength is, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where your explosion really comes from. Somebody always told me, you probably definitely know this, when you talk about strength and explosion and stuff like that, it starts at the core and goes up or down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it spreads this way or that way. That's close to the core.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the further you get away from the core, I don't want to say the less it matters, but that's the less... the least amount of strength that you have to use.
Mm-hmm.
That quad right there, that's right after the abs and the stomach and stuff like that. So, yeah, you lose that. You lose a ton.
Mm. Mm. And then with that comes, people forget, got your core up there, you got your abs, got all that, but the other side, it's, that's your back. Then you start developing lower back problems, and then just everything goes wrong. Shout out Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
Getting out there doing his thing. But again, Cooper Flagg was playing, Wemby was playing, Steph played like a week ago.
Yeah.
It feels like LeBron didn't play in that Warriors game, in that Warriors like LeBron and Luka didn't play in that game. But I think all of the, actually, I don't know if Jimmy did, but I think Draymond, I think everybody played. Jonathan Kuminga played in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, Kuminga was out there, so yeah.
It'll be nice for the Sacramento Kings to get in on the action. It'll be the Kings and the Raptors tomorrow at the Golden 1 Center. Did Doug sound a little bit nervous? He said twice. Mm-hmm. He said on two different occasions, whatever happens in the game, you know, it happens. If we got to make adjustments, it happens. But, you know, right now, here's what we're doing. And then he said it again later. You know, we got to get out there and play another team. Whatever happens, happens. It's like, I wonder if Doug's a little anxious to see what this all looks like tomorrow.
Yeah, I didn't think nervous, maybe even anxious wasn't what I was thinking. It was just you don't know until you actually see, you know, and you've got an idea of what rotations or group of guys may look like, but you don't want to say definitively like this is what it is until you actually see it play out in a game situation. So maybe that's what you heard with them. I mean, I heard the what's the word I'm looking for? Cautiousness. When you talk about this group or these starters or this rotation, I'm going to be cautious with it. That's what I heard. This is what I think is going to happen, but we don't know until we get out there. So.
Yeah, and that's understandable. Like, the pressure for Doug is a lot different. Doug took over in a sticky situation last year, 30-something games into the season. Now it's his camp. It's his way. It's his – this is his. Like, you talk about – you know, Doug talked about fixing the plane in the air a lot last year. And it's like, all right, well, you landed. Whether you crashed or whatever, like, it landed. Everybody say, all right, now you've got to get this plane off up in the air. Now you got to get to your destination as the head coach. And it's a different level of pressure.
Yeah, and yes, it is.
I understand if he's cautious or anxious.
Or nervous.
Or just looking forward to tomorrow's basketball game. Like, Doug, a competitor. Yeah. Like, he wants those guys out there.
Yeah. Then nervous is a real feeling too. Like, this is different. Like you just laid out, this is different than jumping in there mid-season and trying to navigate the waters. Like, no, this is your job. This is your name on the test. So, yeah, if he is nervous, I understand that as well. Also, the nervousness comes from not seeing it, right? Like, I've never. He's encountering a bunch of things that he's never encountered, right? I've never gotten a team ready for a season, preseason, a game, whatever, and then actually had my plan executed. There's a level, all that nervousness, butterflies, cautiousness. All there's a level of all that I could imagine in those moments leading up to it.
Doug Christie played 15 years. In the NBA, two teams he played the longest with, actually, are Sacramento and Toronto. But I guarantee you, in those 15 years, he has never been more nervous about a training camp than the one he's in right now.
Yeah.
Let's hear what the caption on James's video of Zach LaVine is interesting. Let's hear from Zach LaVine at training camp today. And Zach can go both ways. He could talk a lot or he could talk a little. We may have to bring a game in for this one. Let's see.
Go, guys. Zach, just how ready are you guys to go up against someone else tomorrow?
I mean, yeah, that's what preseason and training camp's for. You know, we beat up on each other all day and then you finally get to go play against someone else and not know their plays, not know their speed. So it's fun. So the first couple games is always exciting and a lot of information.
Is it a little bit of it about trying to figure out how your game translates, what your offensive and defensive schemes translates against somebody else?
Yeah, and then just, I mean, we put in a new offense. We got a new coaching staff. You know, we got some new players. But just figuring out, you know, what everyone's role and spots is. And then just getting there, working the rust off. You know, you can practice against each other as much as you want to, but nothing's like the real game.
Anything you're most curious about to see this group do against opposition for the first time?
No, I mean, just to see our compete level. You know, we should be able, we've been playing really hard against each other, so let's have it translate to a real team, a real opponent.
We've heard a little bit about new wrinkles in the offense or whatever you guys are doing. For you specifically, what does that mean for you, and what kinds of changes are you seeing around you out there?
I mean, I've been in so many offenses in my career. It's not a lot different than, you know, what we've been accustomed to. But, you know, I think having Dennis out there has been big, you know, for me and a lot of the guys, to where he's been a vet, he's been in big time games, and he can also how to calm down, you know, situations, get guys the ball. And then let's just see how we play off each other.
Doug's talked about moving Domas around.
Now, I'm sure
spots.
This is a great question from Jason Anderson. I'm going to see if I can find from facial expressions where the question I'm looking for might be, because James referenced, also, remind me, we've got to get back to Dennis Schroeder, but...
But, you know, he'll, I like his attitude.
Do y'all have conversations with him, you know?
Yeah, if somebody fouls me, I want him to put somebody on the ground.
Zach, a week into camp, we've seen you getting extra work in, also heard you've been picking up 94 feet
nope.
as well. How's your body feeling headed into tomorrow?
No, it's not what we're looking for. Great question. Not what we're looking for. Maybe it's the last question. Okay, he looks like he's laughing. Maybe this is it. Stand by.
Some more questions. So DeMar can late.
What should we ask DeMar DeRozan?
Huh?
What should we ask DeMar DeRozan?
Oh, he's going to cuss. I can feel it.
What should we ask D-Ball?
Let me finish the questions they're going to ask you.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Hey, like, bro, you should have your license about 5 years.
Okay, here it is. This is it.
He said he drove your... was it a hard sell, or did you volunteer Max using your car to get his license?
Did he say that?
He said he drove your Ferrari.
So, no, I did not give him that. I gave him a BMW. But Max, he's a rookie, man. You know, I'm just trying to look out for the guys. And he said he's going for his license. I thought Max was like 24, by the way, too. So, like, bro, you should have had your license about 5 years ago, you know.
Maxime Reynaud took Zach LaVine's car to take his driver's test. That's what James put in the caption. And I'm like, wait, what?
That is hilarious.
That is amazing.
That is hilarious.
Can you imagine us coming in and Jesse going, hey, fellas, can I borrow your car so I can go take my driver's
test?
That'd
be a trip. The only thing that's relatable and that I would believe is if you were like, no, you can't use my Ferrari, I'll let you use my BMW.
Oh, stop it.
That checks out.
All right, man. That's ridiculous. I do not have a Ferrari nor a BMW. For the record.
His beater car is a BMW. That's crazy, too.
That is kind of funny. He was like, no, I ain't giving the Ferrari. Gave him the BMW.
Oh, man.
We'll come back.
Zach LaVine, good teammate.
Good teammate. He talked about Dennis Schroeder, too. Let's talk about that when we get back. We'll also talk with Jason Jones.
Oh, my gosh. Do we have to? Can we cancel today?
No. We cannot cancel. Because the last time we canceled, he just ditched us and talked to Eli Manning instead.
We've never gotten
to the bottom of what went on that day. But we'll talk to our man Jason Jones about a variety of different things when he joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.